This morning and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua, chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse 1. I want to speak to you this morning about the mountain-climbing grandfather. Joshua, chapter 14, verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, which their with their suburbs, their cattle, and their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of this passage about a man by the name of Caleb. A great man of faith, a man who remained true through all of his years and finished his life well with a great victory. We thank you, Lord, for Caleb. And I pray that you would use his example to speak to our hearts today as we speak to grandparents and really to all of us. And I pray that you'd use the message to bring what we need for each of us. Lord, if there's someone here who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray the day would be the day of faith for them. I ask for enablement to bring the message that you would get honor and glory for yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Grandparents might be older than others, but they do not have to be has-beens. You know what a has-been is? A person who has been, but they are no longer. They do not have to be people who are just biding their time until they pass away. They do not have to be people with an interesting story of the past. They can be a people with an interesting story of the present. Grandparents should be people with experience, people with wisdom, people with insight, people with ideas, people with present accomplishments, people with plans for the future, and people with advice for newcomers to the race that's set before all of us. Caleb was such a grandparent. At 85 years of old, he was not ready for the recliner. He was ready for the battlefield. At 85 years old, he was not burned out or washed up. He was fired up. At 85 years old, he was not ready for to turn in the towel. He was ready to go to the battlefield and fight a giant. At 85 years old, he was not ready to downsize. At 85 years old, he was ready to claim a mountain for the Lord. And so Caleb was a great man, a great example. Yes, Caleb was what we could call a mountain-climbing grandfather. Because at 85 years old, he climbed a mountain. And he fought some giants. And he won the battle. I believe Caleb is an example for all of us. For grandparents and everybody else. Because you have to remember, the man that Caleb was at 85 was a result of the man that he was at the age of 40. And so, he was a man who continuously served the Lord and obeyed the Lord and followed the Lord. He's an example to all of us. This morning I'd like to look at Caleb's life and give us seven characteristics of Caleb's life that can speak to our own life. What kind of man was Caleb? First of all, Caleb was a man of obedience. A man of obedience. He obeyed the Lord. He said, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now notice that he made that personal. He said, "I wholly follow the Lord my God." The Lord was his God. The word Lord in your Bibles is in all caps. That means it means Jehovah. He followed the Lord Jehovah. And Jehovah was his God personally. He was his God. It was a personal relationship between Caleb and the Lord. Caleb was not the leader like Joshua was, but he was still a man of God. Not everybody can be the leader, and Caleb was not the leader. He and Joshua were the only ones that stood up, you remember, back in Kadesh Barnea and wanted to go into the land. But Joshua went on to lead the people and led in battle and led the people and for great things. And he wasn't Joshua, but he was Caleb, and he was a man who knew the same God that Joshua was. He was a man who had a personal relationship with Jehovah, his God. He obeyed the Lord as that personal relationship. Moses in verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." Now these were the people who came back with the report. You remember there were 12 spies, and 10 of them came back with an evil report, said, "Oh yes, the land's like you said it was, but we can't do it." And Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. But notice the opposition was here. They said, "Surely it floweth with milk and honey," which is an expression that means it's a fruitful land. "And this is the fruit of it." Remember, they brought back the cluster of grapes. It was sobers. Two men had a stick between their shoulders, and this cluster of grapes hung on that stick. And that was one cluster of grape from that country. And so he said, "It's right." He said it was flowing with milk and honey, and here's the evidence of it. "Nevertheless, the people be too strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." That was the giants. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Caleb said, "Now wait a minute. I know all of you are saying this, that we can't do it," but he stilled the people before Moses and he says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Let's do it. We can do it. And so he stood in opposition. He and Joshua were the only ones that stood up and said, "We can't." 10 of them said, "We can't." And so he stood up and he obeyed the Lord in the face of opposition. He also obeyed the Lord in the face of persecution. Look at verse of Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes," because these guys are saying, "We can't." And they disagreed with Caleb. They said, "We can't do it." And they rent their clothes and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people." And he goes on to say, "For the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. So they were going to stone them with stones until the Lord intervened, and the Lord brought His presence there, and they were afraid, and they didn't do what they were planning to do. But Caleb was a man who obeyed the Lord in the face of opposition and in the face of persecution. And not only did he obey the Lord back then, he continued to obey the Lord for 45 years. Now you can imagine, this man of faith, this man of courage, back when he's 40 years old, wanted to go, wanted to fight. But the people wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go. They refused to go. And so he was held back and not able to go and fight the battle that he wanted to fight. But through it all, he continued to believe in the Lord. He continued to trust the Lord. Joshua chapter 14, verse 14 says this. God gave him Hebron because it became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, this is afterwards. This is after the 45 years, 40 years and then 45 more years. And he gets this inheritance. And at the end of that 45 years of waiting, the Lord gave him the inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord. Not he used to do it, but he still did it. He still wholly followed the Lord. So he was a man of obedience. Caleb was also a man of faith. He believed God. You see, he believed God had given the land to Israel. In Numbers chapter 13, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel." You send men out and search the land because I have given this land to the children of Israel. Caleb believed that. He believed that God gave that land. Caleb also believed that God promised to bring them into the land. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, go back there just a minute, Numbers 14, 24, and it tells about Joshua's faith, and it says this, Numbers 14, 24, he says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." My servant Caleb, he had a different spirit than the other people. I will bring him into the land. And Caleb not only believed God's promise to give the land to Israel, he believed God's promise to give him the land and to bring him into the land. He believed that. He believed God's promise that he would give him the portion of land that he had staked out himself, that he had spied out. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. And it says of Caleb, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Caleb, in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." He said, "I believe what God told me." And that is, he told me he was going to give me a possession. Look at verse 9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Sure, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Caleb believed that that promise individually was for him. God would give him the land, but God had also given him the land that he had walked on. And I believe he had walked on that land where the giants were. He knew about that. He knew about Hebron. He knew about that place. He knew the history of Hebron. He knew that God had met Abraham there. He knew all those things. And he knew that. He knew God had promised to give him the land because I believe Moses told him that. And so he believed it. He believed God kept him alive for those 45 years. It says in verse 10, he says in Joshua chapter 14, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." And as he said, these 45 years, God kept me alive. Why am I still living at 85? God did that. And Caleb was a man of belief. He believed that God kept him alive for a particular purpose so that he could give him the land that he promised to give him 45 years before. And he still believed that. He was a man of faith. He believed God for the strength that he would need to go into that land. You remember in verse 11, he said this, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day of that Moses sent me." You imagine this 85-year-old man standing there and saying, "I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40 years old. And I can do it." But then he qualified it in verse 12. He says this in the last part of verse 12, "If so be, the Lord will be with me." If the Lord will be with me, I can do it. You know, that's true of all of us. We can do what God wants us to do And God will give us the strength to do it, but we know it has to be Him doing it. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I can do it. And so Caleb believed that. He believed all these things about God's promises. He believed that God kept him alive for this particular purpose, for this long. And he believed that God would give him the strength, that he had the strength because God gave it to him. And that God would be with him and he would be able to conquer and win that battle that God had ahead of him. So he was a man of faith. He was also a man of perseverance. So obedience, faith, and then perseverance. He persevered in faith. From 40 years old to 85 years old, he persevered. What's it mean to persevere? Just keep it up. Don't give up. You're discouraged, but you don't quit. You're discouraged, but you don't lose heart. You know things have come in your life, it looks like it's impossible, but you say, Lord, I know this can happen. I know that you can do it. I have no doubt that you can do it. Lord, I still believe, even though all the circumstances say otherwise, he persevered in faith. With all that took place in those 40 years to cause him to doubt, he still persevered in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says it like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance, that's the things you can feel. Faith is, you can feel what you hope for. Now, you remember Bible hope is God promises something, you know it's going to happen because He promised it. And so you hope for that. It's not any doubt, it's assurance because God promised it. And He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You don't have it yet, but just like you have it. It's just like you possess it because you know God promised it. And you have, it's the substance of things hoped for. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. And somebody says, well, how do you know that's true? Well, here's the evidence. I don't see it, but here's the promise. God said it. And Caleb knew that. God said it. He would give me this land. And I know He will. He promised it. And I know that. And so I persevere in my faith regardless of the obstacles that stand in the way. He persevered also in obedience. He obeyed the Lord. For all those 45 years, from the time he's 40 to the time he's 85, he obeyed the Lord. You know, there are a lot of Christians that can't be said of. At one time, you really served the Lord, but are you still serving the Lord? Regardless of your age, maybe you used to be 10 and now you're 20. Maybe you used to be 20 and now you're 40. But it doesn't matter your age. Are you still persevering in your obedience to the Lord? And Caleb did. Now, was it easy for Caleb? No. Because you read the account from that day in Kadesh Barnea, what took place? Well, there were these rebellions. Remember, people rebelled against Moses. You remember Miriam, Moses' sister, led one of those rebellions. And there were people that followed them. And they were going to be rebelling against Moses. And there were people that longed for Egypt again. But not Caleb. Caleb never joined any of those rebellions. He persevered in his obedience. He kept obeying the Lord over and over and over again. And then you know, Caleb, if he's as strong at 85 as he was at 40, you know he was a vibrant man. And he was a man who was manly. He was a man who could be tempted. And you remember the temptations that took place in the wilderness? There's the temptation of idolatry. A lot of people followed idols, not Caleb. He persevered in his obedience. And then there was the temptation for immorality. Remember what happened with Balaam? Balaam couldn't get God to curse Israel, so he advised the enemy of a plan. He said, I'll tell you what you do. And we find this later, you know, we read about Balaam, and the Lord ended up that he had the army kill Balaam. And Balaam actually advised the enemy that they couldn't whip him, and they couldn't get God to curse them, but what they could do is they could get their women, their ungodly women, to just make friends with them and get them to go along with their religion and all that. And they could get these ungodly, beautiful, seductive women to cause them to sin, and they did. And many of them went the way of Balaam. Many of them followed those Moabite women, those people of the world. Isn't it interesting how the world pictures their ladies as so beautiful? Hollywood does that. They'll have this star and they'll make her look so beautiful. And I've made the statement many times. You've heard me to say it. I believe you could take a 10-mile or 15-mile radius anywhere around here and you can find somebody in that 10-mile radius just as beautiful as any movie star that there's ever been. God has beautiful women everywhere. But the Hollywood doesn't want you to believe that. They believe these women are really special. They're special, all right. They're special instruments of God, of the devil many times, to bring people down. And they're ungodly, a lot of them, so most of them, ungodly. And so that's the way the Moabite women were. Were the Moabite more beautiful than the Israelite women? No, I don't think so. But they dressed a certain way. They made up themselves a certain way. They were seductive and all that. And they caused a lot of Jewish men to fall into sin, but not Caleb. Because Caleb persevered in his obedience to God. He was a man of perseverance. He also was a man of courage. Caleb was a man of courage. He had the courage to say no to the temptation of those Moabite women. He said no. Does it take courage today to live for the Lord? You better believe it. And our young people today, they face so much. They're tempted so much. And they have so many things that are moving against them. And it takes courage to stand for the Lord. But I'll tell you, young person, that God has had people of courage all down through the ages. You might say, well, it's hard to live for Jesus in this day. Sure it is. It's always been hard to live for Jesus. It was hard in the Old Testament to live for Jehovah. It was hard, and the devil is very tempting, but you can... Caleb was that kind of man. He was a man of courage. He had courage to say no to his peer pressure. Peer pressure is a big thing. Always has been. It was back in Joshua's day, in Caleb's day. Caleb and Joshua were the minority. There were just two of them out of 10. And not just 10. There was not just 10 spies who said no and two that said yes. But almost all the people followed those 10. So the peer pressure was very strong. And Joshua and Caleb were odd. I mean, they were no doubt, they were going to stone them. They were going to stone them to death. They were odd. They were thought as unpopular. And all those people who followed the advice of those 10, the Bible says that all of them died in the wilderness. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They died. But there were two that didn't. In Joshua and Caleb's day, when they went into the land of Israel, people looked around and said, where are all the old people? And it was very obvious there was two of them there. Two old people. In their 80s, or 85, and or, well, beginning probably 80 and a little older, Joshua and Caleb. Why are they the only ones here? There was a reason. Because they were men of obedience, and they were men of faith, and they were men of courage. And Caleb was a man of courage. He had courage to face the peer pressure and to be just one of the few who knew and followed the Lord. I remind us all, the Bible says, broad is the gate that leads, is the way that leads to destruction. But few, when you talk about percentages, the Bible says few, the courage to stand up against peer pressure, you better believe it does, but there's somebody who appreciates courage, the Lord. Right when the battle was before him. Back at Kadesh Barnea, he had courage to fight. Let's present their sight. None of you are going to go, even Joshua and Caleb, you can't go, you've got to wait until all these die off. 45 years later, they still had courage. And Joshua led the way and divided the land. Caleb says, God made me a promise. And I know that promise involves the destruction of some giants in the way. But I'm ready. I'm 85 years old, but the Lord's with me, and I have the courage to go. Let's go. And so he had the courage to fight the battle. And he had courage to face the giants. Joshua 14, verse 12 says, the Anakims were there, and I shall be able to drive them out. That's what comes are there. The giants are there. But I will be able to drive them out because the Lord will be with me. Courage doesn't come when you say, oh, I believe God and I have the courage now. No. Courage comes when you step out by faith and you obey. Practical is obedience. I'm going to obey God even though I'm scared to death. I'm going to do it. And when courage came, and Caleb had that courage. But then there was another characteristic of strength. Joshua 14:12 says, if so be the Lord shall be with me, I'll be able I can do it because I am as strong now as I was then, and I have the strength. He was a man of strength, not because he kept himself fit, but because he kept trusting the Lord. He kept himself fit so he'd be ready when the battle came, but he knew that wasn't sufficient. And he said, like with Paul, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he was a man of strength for the battle to do what God wanted him to do. Strength only comes to those who obey God, believe God, persevere, and are courageous. Then you have the strength to do what you need to do. Strength will come when you need it. And you won't need it until you step out to do what God wants you to do. You really don't need strength to say, I believe. You don't need strength to say, I'm going to obey. You don't need the strength to say, I'm going to persevere. You don't need strength to say, I am courageous. No, that all comes and then God gives you strength. Sometimes we say, but I'm not able. I can't do it. Isn't it interesting the Lord did not give them victory in crossing Jordan River until they put their feet in it? And they made that act of obedience, and then God gave them what they needed to go on and take care of the job. And so he was a man of strength. But then he was also a man of victory. Caleb was a man of victory. He was still winning victories when he was 85 years old. Are we still winning victories as we get older? We should be. It's not the time to sit down and quit. It's the time to move forward. God wants victories for us. And he was a man of victory. Let me show you that. Look at chapter 15 of Joshua. Chapter 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, in other words, the children of the giants. These are the big guys. Now, Goliath was 9'9". I don't know how big these giants were, but I'm sure they're in that category. They're big guys. They're so big, the other Israelites says, we can't do it. There's giants, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And Caleb said, no, we can do it if the Lord be with us. And so he went forward and he was a man of victory, stepped out on faith, and he did what God told him. He obeyed and God gave him the victory. Now that's, you say, well, there are probably other victories too. Well, there were. But not like Caleb. Wouldn't it be interesting that day to be there and survey the situation and say, now, wait a minute, Israelites, explain something to me. Why is it that an 85-year-old man goes and claims a mountain for God and kills three giants, and the rest of you can't get the job done? You say, well, is that what happened? Well, let me show you. Look at chapter 15, verse 63. Joshua 15, verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Israel could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. They weren't giants. They were just strong people, and they couldn't drive them out. You mean an 85-year-old man drove out three giants, and you can't do it? That's not all. Look at chapter 16, verse 10. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Look at chapter 17, verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Look at the book of Judges, chapter 1. Joshua Judges, the next book. Judges, chapter 1, it says in verse 20. It compares them to Caleb, it says in verse 20, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Look at verse 27. It says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Echo. And it goes on and on. But they dwelled among them into that day. Why? Because they couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? They weren't men like Caleb. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. They didn't obey God. They weren't men of courage and strength because they didn't trust the Lord completely. So an 85-year-old man showed them all up. He was a man of victory. But we close this morning by adding one more characteristic of Caleb. He was also a man of blessing. Look back at Joshua chapter 15, verse 16. It says this, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave their upper springs and the nether springs. What am I saying? I'm saying this. The man who was obedient to God, who had faith in God, who persevered, had courage and strength, and won victories, was able to be a blessing to his family. He blessed them. And he gave her a blessing. And God says to all of us, if we'll be the kind of people we're supposed to be, there'll be a blessing we can give to our family. Might not be a material blessing like this, but there's things a lot greater than that. It's great when a grandparent will have her children, their grandchildren, rise up and call her blessed. When a grandfather will have his grandchildren rise up and call him blessed and say, my grandpa or my grandma was a person of faith, and they persevered, and they didn't give in to peer pressure. It's sad to see an old person gathered around with his family, and they're laughing and said, well, Grandpa, you were a rouser in your day, weren't you? And he'd laugh, and I'd say, oh, yes, I was. That's nothing to be proud of. What to be proud of is to somebody to say, Grandpa, you served the Lord. You lived for Jesus. I appreciate that. And that's what we need, people like Caleb. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, today, for helping us to see Caleb as a man who served God. We remember, Lord, Proverbs 16, verse 31. It says, the hoary or the gray hair is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Caleb was that kind of man, a crown of glory, because he was found in the way of righteousness. May we be the same type of people. Regardless of our age, can say of us, they're people of faith, people of obedience, people of perseverance, people of strength, people of victory, people of courage, and people of blessing. May we be a blessing to others, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.